Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, that's pound 529, from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, where to begin on a Monday? It is the Lombardi Line here on VSiN. Dave Ross and our GM Michael Lombardi back in New Jersey getting ready for this Thanksgiving week. We got football, we got family, we got Thanksgiving. I'm Michael. This is a great week here in the good old US of A.
Sure is.
But I don't know where to begin because I'm sure you, like me, watched that Eagle game last night and they get the 37-20 win over LA. And Saquon, I mean, Michael, have you seen a performance like that? Over 300 yards of offense for one guy against a pretty good Rams defense to lift Philadelphia and get that win. They're now 9-2. They look like they could actually be a challenge for the Lions now for supremacy in the NFC. Where do you begin with that Eagle performance last night?
Well, look, I mean, Barkley has been the difference, right? I mean, I think if you go back to their 22 team where they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Chiefs, Miles Sanders was really a good player for them. And they, you know, they had other running backs, but Miles Sanders gained 1,200 yards. He averaged over 5 yards a carry. He's not the level that Saquon certainly is, but I think what he did was they ran the football effectively. They play action pass. They got the lead on people early in the game. And this team kind of mirrors that team a little bit. You know, I don't know if it's as good as that team was, but with A.J. Brown making plays, he's hard to cover. They didn't miss Devontae Smith last night. And look, I think the Rams were overvalued. I said it all week long. I think, to me, if you watch that Patriot tape closely, Patriots moved the ball on the Rams. Now, this Ram defense isn't going to be confused with the 85 Bears by no means. And I think the Eagles wore you down. I think the Eagles are like the boxer who are going to bang you up against the ropes. They're going to body punch you. And then in the second half, they have two long runs, one to start the half, one to close the half. And they took that game over in the second half. I think the Rams are not there physically. I mean, Collinsworth made the point early in the game. He said, this is going to test who's the more physical team. Well, that was never going to be tested because it was always going to be Philadelphia. The Rams don't have that level of physicality. And I thought the Eagles wore them down.
Yeah, overs get there late with that second Saquon burst, 255 yards rushing, over 300 yards of offense. For Saquon by himself, he vaults now. Not only is he the odds-on favorite, you got to wait 4 hours, Michael, to win Offensive Player of the Year, but he shoots up to third in the MVP category behind Josh Allen. We'll see Lamar Jackson tonight with the Ravens against the Chargers. We'll get to that game certainly as the show goes on. But Barkley's now 5-1, and the third betting choice here to win MVP. And, Michael, this goes to a conversation I've had for a long time with a lot of different people in our space, which is, it's a quarterback award. Other people cannot win it if you're not a quarterback. Where do you stand on that? Because I always go, like, I get it that we lean, this award certainly leans and tilts to the quarterback. But if you are sensational, you can still win this award. Do you think Saquon's really in play here?
I think he has to be in play because the way I interpret the most valuable players, if he's not on their team, what's their team record? Right now, look, the Eagles have a good team, but look, I think to me it would put way more pressure on Jalen Hurts than they need to. I think the Eagles recognized in the offseason that to get the most out of Hurt, they needed a really good back. They needed somebody who could separate the defense, somebody who could use those play action, and you had a respect. And then it allowed Hurts to make those throws down the field and use his legs to be part of the six-back offense. So I think he's, if you put Barkley back on the Giants where he should be, only through the brilliance of Joe Shane that he's not there. Because remember, Joe Shane doesn't think it's not important to have running backs. And actually laughed when Marrow said, I'm going to have a hard time watching him if he goes down the road. Mm. Well, it's a hard time watching him, but yet we're going to bring Joe Shane back. Why wouldn't we? You know, I think to me, you have to recognize that because he'll make any team better. And with this offensive line, it just highlights his ability. And the line because they know that he can make a big run, they block better. They do. It's just part of the game. They block better. You know, that they give a little bit more extra effort because he can break tackles.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, no disrespect intended to Jalen Hurts. But it feels like, man, it's 26. You got to figure out a way to try to slow down Saquon Barkley. And it's like Hurts is just kind of that vehicle right now for Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni in that offense. And it's rolling right now. And again, the Eagles look like they're going to be a really tough out. They did have some injuries that they suffered. We saw that Brandon Graham's going to be lost for the year with a torn tricep. And Darius Slay went out with a concussion last night on the defensive side. But again, Michael, I just watched them last night. And I know you've really been watching them closer than I have throughout this year. And Detroit, Philadelphia, if that is the title game, I know I'm way ahead of ourselves here in the NFC. That feels like a really, truly heavyweight matchup. I don't know that there's a third team in the NFC right now. Maybe you can make the argument for the Vikings that's really on par with those two. Do you see it as clear demarcations that it's Detroit, it's Philly, and then the rest of the NFC pack?
Yeah, I have it that way in my power rankings this year. And for the last 2 weeks, they've been Detroit, Philly. And I think it's going to stay that way again. I mean, look, Detroit, let's not underestimate what they did yesterday in Indianapolis, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they took that game over, then they controlled that game. They didn't play their A game either. I mean, let's be clear. They didn't play their A game, but they played good enough to win that game. You know, I think to me, that's what they were able to do. They held Richardson from, you know, and look, he missed some wide open receivers again. He played, you know, he only had 11 completions and 28 attempts. So that was a big problem. But I think what you saw were the Lions were able to make the critical plays with their defense, their defensive tackles. I think this whole notion about having these edge rushers is wonderful. But when you could have powerful people inside like the Eagles have, you know, with Jalen Carter, yeah, and then Milton Williams comes off, and really when you have those guys inside, you affect the quarterback way more than you do when you have those edge guys coming up the field. And I think that Detroit, you know, that was a ho-hum win for them in Indianapolis. I mean, there were sharps all over. There were sharps, yes, all over the Colts yesterday, right? Because everybody said, well, Richardson did it last week. That's the problem with Richardson. He lures you into that one great game, and then the next week they have 11 first downs. They're, what, 3-for-15 or 3-for-12 on third down? I mean, it's just not good. There's just not enough consistency, and then they're just not good enough defensively to hang in there and really make the plays for 60 minutes that they need to make. But I agree with you, David. Detroit and Philly could be a great matchup. Graham's injury now, that really affects them because we know Bryce Huff hasn't been very good. He's on IR with an injury, and now they lose Graham for the season. They lose two edge guys. That's going to hurt them.
It is, and he was dynamic in, what, year 16 or whatever it's been. He was just absolutely lights out.
Yeah, well, he was killing those tackles for the right, especially the right tackle. Yeah. You know, they missed Haverstein last night. There's no question about that. But this Ram offensive line, you know, they've got their guys back, but they're just not physical enough right now. I think the Rams just, it's a little bit like a middleweight trying to fight a heavyweight last night. I think they tried to take a step up in class, and it just wasn't good enough. I thought Stafford's great, right? Yeah. Stafford and Puka, but they just don't have enough power to really handle it all. They're just not good in both lines, and their defense really, I think, to me, struggles to hold on. Look, everybody's talking about how the Rams were playing better. You know, they before the bye week, they went to Seattle and they got gifted a game up, yes, in Seattle. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
And then they come back and play a bad Miami team and got beat up by Miami. Then they go play New England, and New England moves the ball on them. They cover, but it was an ugly game, and really New England had a chance other than a sip. So those three games, and the narrative going in this game is how these two teams are playing great. Like, I couldn't understand that at all. Like, that was not that shouldn't have been the narrative. If you really studied the Seattle game, which they were lucky to win, if you really studied the Patriot game, and if you really watched the Miami game, yeah, I know they won 4 out of 5, but throw out the records, right?
Yeah.
Like, for example, we're going to get to it later in the show. I don't care what Houston's record is. They're not very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, forget the record. There's a real record, right? I think the question we should ask today on Monday morning as we go over and overreact is, how good are the Chiefs when they've got a last-minute drive to come back and beat the Panthers?
Oh, it's astounding. And again, they give up for the second week in a row. They gave up 30 points to the Bills in their only loss of the year. And then you give up 27 yesterday to Carolina on the road. And we talked about it all week. How many can Carolina score? You know, second week in a row, that
I
defense.
I never guessed that.
Right? Who could have seen that?
I would have never guessed.
So, you know, Mahomes does what Mahomes does. He gets that game-winning drive, get the backup field goal kicker to get the game winner 30-27. So they figure out a way to win. But, Michael, that's the point, right? When you watch with that eye test, you watch Detroit shut down the Colts and win easily on the road. You watch the Eagles go across the country to L.A. on a fast track in good conditions, and Saquon runs wild. And you see that. Then you see the Chiefs, who have a better record now, right? They still have the best record right now with Detroit. But you go, the eye test doesn't quite match up. So give them full credit for winning. But when you watch them, you see deficiencies, right, that maybe you don't see in Detroit and Philadelphia.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
You do it. And look, the numbers don't translate as well for I mean, if they have any slippage on defense, which obviously they've seen the last 2 weeks, it's going to be a problem. Now, it won't be a problem this week against Aiden O'Connell, who comes back off IR to replace Gardner Minshew, who's out for the season with a shoulder injury. You know, and that game, you talk about a bad beat yesterday, David. Did you watch the end of the Raider game?
Yes, I was thinking of you there. You're at the one-yard line. And one inch line.
Forget the 1 yard line. You're at the one. Only Antonio Pierce could mess this up. Only he could. Like, seriously, you're at the 1 inch line, you know, and you get the, I mean, I don't, it wasn't a touchdown. I think they made the correct call, but how do you not get three plays off or four plays off? How do you not throw the ball out of bounds or just throw it away? How do you take a sack? You can't.
I'm watching that thing going, come on, just score. Like, if you're a Raider backer and you've got the points in that one, boy, I'd like to see what the percentage of covering would have been when you got first to go at the inch-yard line. And not only do they not score the touchdown, they can't even get off the field goal to try to get an onside kick. We'll talk about the calamity of the D.C. game between the Cowboys and Commanders, where that actually came in. And the Bears, who got an onside kick late yesterday, too.
Oh, my
so,
God.
You like the Raiders, you can't screw that up to not even have the opportunity to do what those two teams did.
Oh, my God.
But you're right, Antonio
Pierce.
Well,
they screwed up the whole game. He screwed it. I mean, how is he a head coach of the National Football League? Seriously, I'm sorry, but how has this happened? I mean, how is he going to come back? I mean, I hear these blogs reporting he's coming back for another year. If you say to me you're interested in winning and you bring him back, then those two sentences don't go together.
Well, I hope he comes back because I got alt under on the Raiders, and I'll do it again next year. If it looks a lot like it looks so far this year, Michael. When we come back, so much more to get to. We'll talk about that wild game in D.C., and all of everything we saw on Sunday. Come on back, and it's the Lombardi Line here on VEASAN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
We continue the Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. We're going to have Rich Gannon join us in the next segment to get our perspective from our quarterback here on VEASAN. Carl Johnson, how do the books do down there at Beau Rivage? We'll catch up with Carl in hour number two. Michael, you know me as a Cowboy backer, right? And what did I say to you all week? Like, there's no way Dallas is going to D.C. Like, to me, it was lay the points of the Commanders or pass. I'll be honest. I did not see this coming yesterday in Washington, D.C. Cowboys get the win 34-26, 41 combined points in the fourth quarter. I still can't even transcribe what we saw in the final 3 minutes of that football game with, you know, kickoff returns, two kickoff return touchdowns for Dallas in the final 3 minutes. Somehow we see Daniels gets over the top to McLaurin. He goes 70 yards to the house. They miss an extra point that would have tied it. I mean, it was just absolute calamity. Can you describe what you saw yesterday? Because I really can't make sense of it.
I can't either. I mean, if you'd have told me the Cowboys are going to score 37 points, I'd have said you're crazy. Now they got two of them on kickoff returns, let's be honest, right? I mean, why are people kicking the ball to him? Why would you ever... I mean, he's one of their only weapons they have on offense. Like, why would you kick it to Turpin? Like, why would you ever do? I said it at the beginning of the year. Don't ever kick the ball to Turpin.
No.
I mean, if you're Dan Quinn, you know Turpin. He's their only player. He's an explosive guy. You kick the ball off to him. Are you kidding me? And you make it easy so Cooper Rush doesn't have to complete a pass. I mean, and then I have no idea what were they doing on that coverage to McLaurin. You say he got over the top of him, but I mean, that was his bet. That was like the play in New Orleans when New Orleans got beat by Minnesota. It was like, how does this happen?
Yes,
I mean,
was.
That play, two guys got knocked out of the play by Diggs.
That's right.
But still, I mean, and then, you know, then they come back and they onside kick it. And then they get, I mean, wow, it was, if you had the under in this game. And you gave up 31 points in the fourth quarter
41.
Alone. You're like, 41, I'm sorry, 41 in the fourth quarter.
It's
think
insane.
About it. It makes no sense at all. I mean, the game, what's the game? It's 10-9 going into the fourth?
Yeah, it's 10-9 going to the fourth. It's, you know, it's 3-3 at halftime. Like, it just blows your mind. The total sitting at 44. You get 6 points at the break, and you end up with, what's my VCU math? 60 points. I mean, we got people.
It's amazing.
33 people, Michael,
I mean,
out of Circus.
33 people lost out.
How about that?
I know. I mean, I mean, I could understand it. You're sitting there saying, wow, we had it. You know, and that, look, the Chiefs, eight people got lucky on that. The smartest eight people were the Broncos and the Bucks. Let's be honest. Those two teams weren't losing either one of those games. And the Packer game, only because of what happened with the Packer injuries.
That's
with
right.
The 49er injuries. The 49ers are not a good team at all.
No.
I mean, they're just not. They have too many injuries. You know, Brandon Allen's not a good enough player. But even if he were a good player, Debo drops a ball, interception. I mean, they dropped. I mean, everybody's talking about how Jordan Love played. I thought Brady was right at the end of the game. Let's not anoint these guys so quickly. I mean, Love tried to throw a couple interceptions. They just didn't catch them. You know, it was one of those games where they had their hands on a few balls. But this Niner team isn't the same. But getting back here to the Cowboys – I mean, look, I think what we've seen, at least for three quarters, we saw how people want to defend Jaden Daniels,
yep.
right? And I think that's critical. And he had 7 rushes in the game for 74 yards, so he was able to get going. But, you know, that happened later in the game when he could escape. But I think they're making him have to beat him down the field. McLaurin wasn't doing anything in that game until that last play.
Right.
And all of a sudden it all just happened. So, you know, we haven't seen the adjustment from the Commanders to that Pittsburgh game plan.
Three straight losses
right?
now, yeah.
You know,
three losses now in a row since
that. And so that's got to concern you. That's got to concern you if you're Washington. That Eckler was hurt coming out of the game, which has also got to concern you. And look, let's face it. We know Washington's not great on defense, and I know they gave up 14 points on special teams, but still, this is one of those. And then, look, special teams was a story. What, they had a block punt, right?
Yeah, block punt.
You know,
they blocked
like,
a field goal. The Commanders could have taken control of this game in the first half with those block kicks, multiple. And a missed field goal also by Brandon Aubrey, which is rare for Dallas. So they had their opportunities in the first half, and they could not do anything, as you mentioned. And that's really where they lost the game. I know we're going to look at the wild final, you know, 31 points in the last 3 minutes, 41 points in the fourth quarter. But really, if we're being honest, they had their opportunities in the first half with short fields and could not get it done. So three straight losses. And by the way, Michael, how about this? I think we all thought this thing was wrapped up, right? Jaden Daniels is going to be the offensive rookie of the year. And now he's down to minus -1.35. And don't look now. You can look. Bo Nix is plus +1.10 to win this award. And you mentioned it with the Broncos, and they win by 10 yesterday out here in the desert against the Raiders. But again, that eye test, and you've been watching him a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember going back to the Ravens loss where they got blown out in Baltimore. And I went, man, this Bo Nix can play. Even in a blowout, you could see it. Yeah. And now, Michael, eye test. I mean, it's a two-horse race. Brock Bowers is 25-1 is the third betting option. If you had to back a horse here, which horse would you back, Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury or Bo Nix and Sean Payton down the stretch?
I think Sean Payton's done an amazing job, right? I mean, first of all, he takes a guy that most every draft Nick said he shouldn't have taken, right?
Mm.
So he spits in their face on that one and says, look, I'm taking this guy. And then he gets them to play really well. So let's be pretty clear here about what's going on. I mean, this guy's got expertise in the field. And so, you know, you're the Giants. You need a quarterback, but you can't take Bo Nix because you don't have somebody coaching him who's got the expertise, right?
Yep.
Think about this. Think about all the teams that passed on Bo Nix. Well, the Raiders passed on Bo Nix because they couldn't see how to develop the player. See, that's the beautiful thing about scouting is scouting isn't evaluating the production of the player. Everybody can do that. Scouting is seeing the player and then being able to project him forward, to project him to where he's going to go. And then Sean did that with Bo Nix. He had all the characteristics. He had great skill. The kid's become very accurate. I mean, yesterday they put it up 42 times against the Raiders, right? And they were in a lot of third and longs in that game. And he ends up 40% on third down. 40% on third down. And they made a bunch of field goals. And look, that game, if you had the Raiders and laid the six and got the six, it was a killer.
Yeah.
I mean, you got beat by 2 50-yard field goals, 53, 54-yard field goals. Those kill you. And then they have the ball in the one-inch line, and you can't get it in to get a backdoor cover.
You make a great point about who's drafting you, who's got the vision for the player. Sean Payton has it. Other organizations don't. You're right. He told her, hey, I don't care what you guys all say about my pick and Bo Nix and what you think of it. Just watch. I'll make it work. It's working in Denver, right? I mean, that's
it wasn't ego-driven, Dave. It wasn't ego. It wasn't like I'm going to take Tim Tebow and show you what I know, right? No. You know, this is, I know what I want. Yep. This is what I need. This is exactly what I have to have. And I'm going to make this guy really a good player. And he did it. And I think, to me, you got to give him complete credit for it. That's why you're paying as much money. That's the expertise you get with hiring somebody like that. You know, and if you gave him somebody, you know, he couldn't do it with Russell because Russell couldn't do what he needed him to do. Russell, you know, he doesn't want somebody looking at a play sheet. He wants somebody to be able to call it out, wants somebody to be able to adjust it. And he's doing exactly that. I think the same thing with Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
You give him a good player who fits what he wants to do, they're going to get him the guy to play good. That's what we see with Brock Purdy.
It really is fun to watch. If you're watching Bo Nix play with Sean Payton, you're going to understand exactly what Michael's talking about. Even in defeat, you can watch some of those earlier games. You could see it working for Bo Nix. I don't know if we see it working with the Philadelphia 76ers, Michael. It's a cheap way for me to tell you that the NBA is back. And right now, we got pick six from DraftKings. It's an official betting partner of the NBA. So it's super simple to get started. You download the DraftKings Pick Six app, then select two or more players and choose if they're going to have more or less of a stat, such as points, rebounds, three-pointers, and more. Pick Six players can play $5 and get $50 in Pick Six credits. Download the DraftKings Pick Six app now. Use code VSIN. That's code VSIN for new customers. You're going to play $5, get 50 in Pick Six credits. That's on DraftKings Pick Six, and the crown can be yours. It will not be the Philadelphia 76ers this year. We don't believe.
Wow, how bad was that last night? God. In fact, I saw a tweet by Keith Pomeroy, who writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He said, this loss was very reminiscent of the early days of the process. Think about that for a second.
We're all the way back
there. I mean,
that's
how badly they got beat by the Clipper. All that's, and I didn't say it. He did. It's a comedy. It's a complete comedy. It's a good thing they have that first-round pick protected. They traded it for Al Horford. They traded to get rid of Al Horford. They had to give away a pick, and it's top six protected.
Horford goes and wins a title with the Celtics. By the way,
Of course he does.
Right? Of course he does. I saw that tweet, and I thought, do you just bite your tongue? Like, you're like, I told all you guys this. I told you all this. But you see it play out.
Oh, it's
right?
I mean, I love it. I enjoy it so much because I think it just proves that all you people that want to talk about load management and rest and all those things about not working hard and the process and giving up, you know, this is what you have. You have a culture that has nothing about winning, nothing about winning. And it's going to continue that way. And it's going to be disruptive. And I don't think Embiid, look, he's got swelling on his knee. He's got a degenerately bad knee. What level do you think he's ever going to get back to?
Oh, boy. Thank God they got Saquon Barkley. It's still football season for Philadelphia because it's 76ers. It might be a wrap. When we come back, our NFL MVP quarterback Rich Gannon joins the program next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We continue the Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. We always love to catch up on Mondays with our NFL MVP quarterback, Rich Gannon. Of course, does a great job here for us at VSiN. You can follow him on X at RichGannon12. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Rich, looking across the league last night, and of course, the better part of the day, Was there any performance individually that stood out to you besides Saquon Barkley from a running back position? I was wondering if any quarterback really stood out, and it kind of felt like quarterbacks had good days, but nobody that really said, yeah, this was a keynote performance of the day.
No, I think there are a lot of really good individual performances. You know, we were just talking before the show. Sometimes we have a tendency to overreact, right? We see, like, I watched the Eagles defensive line, what they did to the Rams offensive line last night. To me, that was a dominating performance, right? You know, Stafford didn't have a chance to set his feet last night, and we know he needs a clean pocket. So sometimes we say, man, the Eagles just dominated, or is it the combination of Eagles played really good and the Rams are really pretty bad on the edges and even the interior of that offensive line? I thought, you know, Baker Mayfield, you may look at the numbers, guys, but this is a guy that honestly, like, I don't understand for the life of me how Cleveland let him walk out that door. I mean, he's such a competitive player, and I think the guys love playing for him. You know, you hear some of those post-game interviews, you know, even when they're not 100% healthy, their defense is not very good in Tampa. And yet, who knows? They may win that division. I mean, Baker Mayfield he's got a lot of the qualities and the intangibles that you really love at that position. And of course, you know, you look at the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. You know, it's not always pretty. You look at their offensive struggles. You look at the fact that maybe Carolina's playing a little bit better here the last month. But, like, and the critical situation, got to have it with a couple minutes and left in the game. Is there anyone better in the world than Patrick Mahomes?
No. Are you a little concerned, Rich, about how their defense really couldn't slow down this Panther offense? I mean, the line was 10.5, and I mean, I know that's hard. This is not – the Chiefs are not a great covering double-digit team. But I was really disappointed in how their defense played.
You know, when I saw that line, Michael, I mean, I think your initial instinct is to say, hey, look, Carolina's really bad. I thought the matchup that would really be favorable for the Chiefs was the Chiefs defense against Bryce Young and that offense. I just thought they'd smother them. And that didn't happen. And so that's a bit of a surprise. But then again, I guess we shouldn't be totally surprised, because every game the Chiefs play comes down to the wire. I mean, you know, every game this year has been a one possession game pretty much. They've had to come from behind just about every game. So I think it tells you a little bit about who they are right now. I mean, I think they win ugly. I think they've embraced that. I think they understand that. I think Andy's done a really good job preaching to them and helping them to understand, look, this is who we are. Even though we're the defending world champions, it's going to be an ugly fistfight every week, and that's how we're going to have to win games. And I think that speaks to their maturity as a football team, that they understand that it doesn't matter if it's Carolina, if it's Pittsburgh, if it's Baltimore, it's going to take 60 minutes for us to have a chance each week.
Yeah, do not forget, everybody, if you do not have the VSiN Watch app yet, you can check out Rich's show right here on VSiN, the Tailgate Show on Sundays. Of course, Lombardi Line, wherever you go, you can watch VSiN programming on the go with our new VSiN Watch app. I know you've been watching these rookie quarterbacks. Michael and I talked a little bit about it with Bo Nix, his kind of ascension with Denver. And Jaden Daniels has been the cat's meow all year, but now it feels like a two-horse race for that offensive, for the rookie of the year, rather, with those two quarterbacks. Which horse would you back here? Because it feels like, not that the league is figuring out Daniels, but Bo Nix feels like he's really getting better every week. And I don't know that we can say the same in DC.
Guys, think about this. A month ago, it was all over. I mean, Jaden Daniels was the offensive rookie of the year. I get one of those 50 votes. And yet, you know, I think when you go back to that rib injury, which was about a month ago, I don't think he's been the same guy. I don't think you don't see the instinctiveness in terms of him pulling it down and running. Saw a little bit more of it yesterday against the Cowboys, some more designed runs. And when you look at his passing yards per game, he's just right around 200 yards. And so, you know, they just haven't been as dynamic offensively. And I just don't know if a couple of those weeks it's because of where he was from a health standpoint. I think defenses are doing a better job, particularly the last month, of setting the edge and not allowing him a two-way go and forcing him to sit in the pocket and function as a pocket passer and making him fit the ball in some tight windows. And so I don't think we're seeing the quite the production. On the other side of it, you look at Bo Nix, guys. This is one of the quarterbacks I really like coming out in the draft. I was out in front of this. I studied a lot of his ball when he was at Auburn and at Oregon. A lot of people like this quarterback that West Coast coaching tree, and Sean Payton was one of them. He played a lot of football in college. His dad was an outstanding high school football coach. He grew up around the game. I just think his maturity, I don't think it's too big for him. I think he's a very experienced player. We don't say that about a lot of rookie quarterbacks, but just watch him operate. He clearly understands situational football. He's taking good care of the ball. He's making big throws. And you go on the road. Look, the Raiders are who they are. I mean, they've lost seven straight games, but to go on the road in a division and get a win like that when they were behind early, I think says a lot about this young quarterback.
It really does. And I mean, the last three games, he's thrown for 71% completions. He's averaged 265, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, and he's got a 114 quarterback rating. I mean, that's what you want, Rich. You want this guy to get better as the year goes on, and he's doing it.
He is, Michael. And I think, you know, I think Sean Payton is really good. I think Sean has grown and matured as a, not only as a head coach and a play caller, but as a developer of young quarterbacks. I mean, I've been around a lot of guys who are good at coaching the position and calling plays, but aren't very good at developing a young quarterback, don't have a track record of it. I mean, Sean had Drew Brees, and he got Drew Brees at a point in his career where, you know, he had played, he had started, he had experience, and they had some natural synergy. But I think when you look at trying to develop a young quarterback, it requires a lot of patience, right? There are going to be peaks and valleys. And I think he's done a really good job of not screaming at him and holler at him on sidelines, you know, which you know, a lot of these guys can, you know, you can really ruin a young quarterback. I think this kid's mentally and physically tough. That really wouldn't bother him.
Yeah.
But I just think that, you know, when you watch him play, Michael, I could also say it about Jaden Daniels. When you watch him play, you watch the body language, you watch situational football, you watch when there's an adversity strike, they don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they don't look and they don't feel and they don't behave like rookie quarterbacks, which I think says something about both of those young players.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the stellar play you saw from the quarterback position yesterday, Baker Mayfield, of course, Patrick Mahomes. We expect that tonight in SoFi with Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert, two of the top six right now on the odds boards for MVP. Lamar right now currently behind Josh Allen. Going into this thing, are we just going to get a shootout? Totals there of 50. How do you slow these quarterbacks down? Because I feel like they're really coming up aces right now.
I think it's going to be an exciting night offensively. I mean, Lamar Jackson, guys, is really good on Monday nights. I think he's thrown 20 touchdowns and no picks on Monday night. Oh. He's also 17-4. After a loss. So this is a team that responds well. I think they'll be really focused. I think, you know, Michael's been around this a lot. Like sometimes these primetime games bring out the best and the best players. I mean, they realize that everybody's watching, all eyes are on them. You want to win an NFL MVP, go get off on Monday Night Football and go out there and throw for a couple touchdowns and run for a couple touchdowns. I think Lamar Jackson plays well. Chargers, as you guys know, have the best scoring defense in football. But I think it's going to be fun to watch. I'm anxious to see what happens with Derrick Henry. You know, Derrick Henry, when he gets rolling, that only helps, I think, accentuate what they can do as an offense with Lamar Jackson. But keep an eye on Justin Herbert. He can sling it as well. I just don't think that they're good enough on the perimeter right now. I like Ladd McConkey, but I just don't think that they're as good as the Ravens when it comes to the skill positions.
Rich, you've won an NFL MVP. Michael and I discussed it on the heels of Saquon's ridiculous performance last night, over 300 yards of offense by one guy rushing for 255. He's now the third betting choice to be MVP. Can we get rid of the narrative that it has to be a quarterback that wins this thing? Is Saquon really in play to win the MVP?
Oh, I think so, guys. I mean, I've got my eye. You know, early in the year, it seemed like it was a two-horse race between, you know, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, right? They got off to such a great start, and I think, you know, both have cooled off. I mean, when you look at what's happening with Jared Goff, I think he's had a couple – you know, of course he had the 5 interception game, but he's had some games where he hasn't been, you know, quite as dominant. But when you look at Saquon Barkley, I mean, every freaking week he's going off. I mean, I think it's like a personal vendetta. Like he's going to show the Giants, like, you guys were so dumb to let go of me. And when I watched that Giants offense yesterday, I mean, honestly, how embarrassing. And I think, you know, he's going to get, you know, what's going to happen? He's going to get a couple people fired there. Ooh. I'm just telling you, a couple people are going to get fired because they let that guy walk out the door, and rightfully so. I mean, he's a phenomenal football player. He's a great teammate. He's a great leader in that locker room. He was their best player on that football team, and they let him walk right down the road, right down I-95 to Philadelphia. How bad is that?
Yeah, no question. And I agree with you, Rich, although they say at the Giants, everybody's coming back. I mean, and then the players in the locker room after the game said we didn't play hard yesterday.
Oh.
I don't know how those two things go. I have no idea. I was on Mad Dog Russo. He was defending him. I'm like, and he took him in the Giants. He took the 6 points. I bet that worked out well for him, huh?
The GM may survive. There's zero chance the head coach survives this. There's just no way. I mean, like, they can't score a point. They're the worst scoring offense in football, and he's the one calling plays.
I like the Giants yesterday, guys.
Fourth time they scored under 10 points this year.
Unbelievable. Rich, appreciate your time as always. We enjoy the conversation. Thanks for hopping on the Progressive Guest
Line. Thanks, Rich.
You guys.
Back to set up the Turkey Day bonanza of football, Michael. We'll do that next here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue our Monday conversation here in the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. Great having Rich Gannon on in the last segment. Going to have Carl Johnson join us in hour number two, see how the books fared with another wild weekend, not only in the NFL, but college football as well. But Michael, it's no rest for the weary, right? We got one more game in week 12 tonight to wrap up at SoFi between the Ravens and the Chargers. And then three for your Turkey Day extravaganza on Thursday. And again, set this up at my household. Can't wait to get home in Virginia Beach for the week. They always set it around the Cowboy game for me, which is really nice. I said I didn't need to watch this year, Michael, but I'm going to watch now that the Cowboys won yesterday.
Of course you are.
I'm now emotionally invested again.
I'm sure you went to the window to bet them making the playoffs. I'm sure you're that excited. I can't believe it. Can you believe you're a 4-point favorite at home? Can you believe? I mean, the line opened at 4.
No.
I mean, how bad is the Giants? Yeah, it's 4. It's 4. I just looked. You're a 4-point favorite. How can Cooper Rush be 4 points favorite better than anybody?
Here's the thing.
Which is going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
What happens with Daniel Jones today at 4:00 New York time? Daniel Jones will either clear the waiver wire. I doubt anybody will claim him to take on the debt. But more than the $11 million debt that you would take on this year's salary, you would take on because the Giants have to pay one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But that $25 million of injury guarantee that looms out there in 25, would also accumulate that. And I think that you have to get rid of that before you can take them. You've got to be more practical. But I think there's going to be, I think, San Francisco. I think Miami is interested in him. I think Dallas is definitely interested in him. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in him. But I think what he's probably thinking about is, where can I position myself to go next year? Where can I put myself in the right spot? You know, Minnesota's rumored to be talking about him. I mean, Nick Mullins took a snap yesterday and completed a pass. I mean, so when Sam Darnold had to leave the game. So I think there's going to be a lot of interest in him.
Fascinating. That's the second game of the docket. Cowboys 4-point favorites total there. Feels a little high to me at 46.5 in that one on Thursday. We talked about it with Rich Gannon, and I thought it was an excellent point. You know, they get blasted yesterday 30-7 by Tampa Bay. I actually like the Giants. What an idiot I am for thinking that. But it was more of a bet that Daboll would get this team ready to play. And then you made mention of it, Michael. When the players say we weren't ready to play, like with the week they had, are they trying to get Brian Daboll fired? What is going on there? And if it looks bad on Thursday in Dallas as 4-point dogs, 3.5 now, I mean, how do you justify getting your job back next year?
Well, I mean, John Mara just says he's happy with the progress. He sees development. I mean, I don't know what he sees. You know, I think what Rich Gannon said in the last block, I mean, first of all, 2 years ago, I said it. Look, Saquon's their best player. You got to take care of Saquon. You could say, well, he's a running back. Well, he's their best player. You know, I did Russo on Friday, and he was defending him. You know, their record would be the same if Barkley was on the team. No, it wouldn't. Barkley would make the quarterback a better player. Barkley makes Jalen Hurts a better player.
Yep.
You know, Jalen Hurts, if he didn't have Barkley behind him, if it was just Gainwell back there, it might be a different story. If he has to throw it all the time, we would see him not handle the pressure. You see elements of it in the game anyway. Mm. So for me, I think it's rather ridiculous to say the Giants wouldn't be a better team. Look, Shane had no interest in signing Barkley. He doesn't value running backs. He signed Singletary because he drafted him in Buffalo. And Singletary, you know, he scored a touchdown yesterday. I hope that makes him happy. Tracy fumbles the ball. They've had 7 turnovers in the red zone this year. They can't stop anybody in the red zone on defense. The opening drive of the game, Baker Mayfield took like 8 minutes off the clock and went down and scored. It was like pitch and catch. It was pitch and catch the whole day. And this defensive line that they talk about how great it is, Brian Burns, and they got Dexter Lawrence. I mean, the Bucs did whatever they wanted to do on them. whatever they wanted to do on him. This game was never in doubt. It's 24. Well, it should have been 20. It was 23-0 at the half. It was over. And Russo took him in the six, you know, and with Tommy DeVito playing quarterback. They couldn't block the Bucs. Rich is right. The Bucs aren't great on defense, but DeVito got the – I mean, I didn't think DeVito was going to be able to get out of the game.
I wish I hadn't looked.
It's bad. I mean, it's really bad. You know, you got to go back. This is even – you got to go back to the 70s when they had the Herm Edwards fumble.
Yes.
The miracle at
Joe
the Meadowlands. You know?
Pisarcik, yes.
Joe Pisarcik. He pivoted the wrong way. Yep. Zonka put the ball on his hip, fumbled. Herm Edwards goes in. So that era of football was Bill Arnsberger, John McVay, the former 49er general manager. He was the coach there. That era of football, those cumulative years, they had a 37% win percentage, and there were boo birds all over the place. The last 10 years here, they're 35% win percentage, and they defend themselves. You got Pat Hanlon calling people. You got, you know, the yelling at people for being critical of the Giants, you know. And, I mean, Stephen A. got yelled at because he was defending the ESPN report about Daniel Jones. I mean, it was ridiculous. They live in with binders on. They don't even live in a real world. They're watching this product out there on the field. Meanwhile, you got Giant fans saying, well, it'll get us a quarterback now. You want Shane picking your quarterback?
No, thank you. I wish I hadn't looked. Cowboys are 20-1 to make the playoffs. Don't tempt me with a good time.
Oh, you're gonna bet it. Oh my God, you just can't help yourself. You know it. I'm gonna text you the St. Jude's number just instead. You know, just give it to the kids, please. Just give it to the kids.
If you had one good game.
See, the difference between me and you, the Sixers can have a good game and I may not get back in. The Cowboys have one good series and you're back in.
I'm all the way back in. The great Cooper Rush will lead us, Michael.
Oh, my God. Cooper Rush throws it about 30 miles an hour. I mean, he's a junk ball pitcher. Could he throw it any harder?
No.
How bad must Trey Lance be if Cooper Rush is your starting quarterback? How bad must Trey Lance be? Seriously.
It would be fascinating if they did get Daniel Jones and then they – made a little 5 wins if they beat the Giants.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Have you watched them on defense, David? I know yesterday was their best defense.
Yes.
Do you realize, David, that this is this is the hardest thing to do in sports? They're 32nd in rushing touchdowns allowed.
Oh, boy.
They're 32nd in rushing touchdowns scored. So they can't run it and they can't stop it. They're 31st in rushing yards allowed. They're 31st in rushing yards gained. I mean, they can't do anything. And they beat Washington, which makes you really worry. We've worried about Washington all year about their defense, right?
Yeah.
But they've been able, again, they did the same thing the Cowboys did last year. They're able because they played from in front.
That's
right. But they haven't been able to play from in front lately. And so now their inabilities, their lack of defensive talent has taken over. The game becomes easier when you can play from in front. Look at that Eagle-Ram game yesterday. It was close. It was really good. 13-6, 7 at the half, you know, and then Barkley makes it 20-7. And all of a sudden, as Rich Gannon said, the Eagles take over the game with their defensive front. Well, they don't have to worry about the run. Even if you run it, we don't care.
Right.
You're 2 scores down. We're going to play it differently. I think that's a huge factor that fans don't really take into account. You know, when you have to defend both run and pass, you're not as good a defense as you are when you can just get after the quarterback.
Totally agree. And by the way, 20-1 America, as much as I love them, it's not enough value. They'd have to run the table, win the last 6 games with Cooper Rush, and to Michael's point, they still can't stop the run, and they're still not running it good enough. So it would be a St. Jude's pick, that's for sure. By the way, if you have not become a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, Black Friday special. It's out there right now. You get everything we do at the network through May 1st for $60, daily best bets, 24/7 video access, all the way through the Super Bowl, March Madness, you name it, we got it. So visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up now for the Black Friday special. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Michael, it was almost a Jack Buck scenario yesterday. I don't believe what I just saw with the Vikings and the Bears and the way that one ended. If you had the Vikings and you laid 3.5, I'm sorry, that's a bad beat. If you had the Bears and 3.5, go to church on Sunday, because there's no way they should have even gotten this game to overtime. Down 11 in the final minutes. I think they score with 22 seconds to go, get the 2-point conversion, then get the onside kick, and then get the field goal, and you get to overtime. And then they get the ball first in overtime. Vikings get a stop, get the win 30-27. Woof. Now the Bears, I got to come off that loss and go to Detroit. My goodness. We saw what Detroit did to Elliott Bowman's Colts yesterday. Michael, how can this team, if you're getting 10.5 on Thanksgiving Day to kick off the Thursday bonanza of football, do you want any part of the Bears after what you saw?
You know, I think that, you know, the biggest thing about the Bears that's fascinating, I think that we would all agree that most people spent this offseason talking about how great this Bear defense is.
Yes.
And when you watch them and how Montez Sweat has made such a difference to their defense and how great they are, we can do it on the other side too, but this defense has not been very good.
No.
I mean, they have no defensive front. I mean, the last 3 weeks, they haven't been able to stop anybody. Since they came back from the bye, they haven't stopped anybody for less than 100 yards rushing, and people have thrown the football effectively. I mean, the Cardinals only ran the ball for 213 against them. They only had a throw for 137, and they dominated that game. You know, look, this Bears, they've lost to Washington, a good team, that Arizona. They lose to New England, Green Bay, and Minnesota. Now they got Detroit, San Francisco, and Minnesota. It's not pretty.
No, we'll get into that, because I think you're right on about this Bears team in that Matt Eberflus is supposed to be a defensive-minded guy. Defense is not playing well. Hour number two straight ahead here on the Lombardi Line.